I don't think a lot of people realize how much goes into the planning and development of a vineyard.
And I look at Sauvignon Blanc too, as it can be very transparent of the farming style.
A lot of people don't realize Sonoma County is 1 million acres. Makes us about the size of Rhode Island as a state.
For most people who are really into wine, being a wine dude, a wine nut, or whatever you want to call it, I think they all have a wet dream to make their own wine eventually.
I really have fun with doing my job, with doing wine, with being viticulturist.
You know, to stay out of the vineyard, I only have the shotgun for the boar, and I'm thinking, great.
As much as I love Chardonnay, I didn't want to spend my nights worrying about it and my days talking about it.
I worked 14 hours the day before I went into labor. I was determined to get most of that Chardonnay in.
In another beautiful, sunny day in Napa Valley, in a room full of half crazy, half passionate people. I mean, how bad could it be?
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 197. This week we feature Stephanie DeMassey of Fly Wine and Jocelyn Vineyards. It takes a great entrepreneur to come up with clever and creative ideas when it comes to bringing new wine to the market. Stephanie DeMassey of Fly Wine and Jocelyn Vineyards is just that person. Stephanie's energy and ideas, plus a taste for fine wine, have meant great success for her ventures. We finally got time with Stephanie during Auction Napa Valley Week to catch up with her on her latest ideas. We're here with our friend, Stephanie DeMassey, of both Fly Wine as well as Jocelyn Vineyards.
Hi, yes.
And obviously these are two different companies, managing partner of Jocelyn, and you're the owner of Fly Wine, correct?
Yes, I mean, vintner is probably the encompassing title for all of my roles in my positions, but for the respect of the people that I work with for Jocelyn, I have a partnership. And then Fly Wine, although I use the term we and us a lot, it's really me. So it's fun that way too.
No, I think that's very cool. And as we look at you, we can see the multiple hats you wear at this very moment. They're just kind of coming and going. We're going to put them in later on with some kind of Adobe thing.
And draw them on like the football?
Exactly. That's, you could do that. Cool. That's very doable. I want to actually spend a few minutes talking about Fly Wine because we've interviewed you many times. And we've talked about Jocelyn. Uh-huh. And Fly Wine is a relatively new project. It's been about, a couple of years now?
We turned 2 July 1st.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
see, I got something right. It's not bad. In fact, we just saw it at Backroom Wines the other day, which is very cool.
Yeah, he's
there were
my
two
favorite.
I saw. Yeah, there was the one I'm looking at here, the layover, and there was another one.
No, actually, he has the wingman and the closer.
The wingman, that's what it was.
Yeah, Dan, I love Dan's shop. We've always supported each other, either with some brand that I'm working with or just his friendships. His tastings are some of my favorites. So I was so stoked when he brought them in and put them front and center. The cash register, impulse buy.
That is a perfect impulse buy because it's small, it's, as you say, TSA friendly, and it's a very tasty wine, by the way, because you gave me one when I saw you back at, it wasn't Premier, I think it was last year. I just opened it recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's probably
I try to carry them in my pocket.
Well,
I have
you
lots
can.
Of surprises.
Yes, that's what's great about
exactly.
Wine.
Yeah. Bring them to the movies.
Yeah. And we'll have some shots in the the video here so people can see what they look like. But they're just a great idea. Other than the obvious, gee, wouldn't it be nice to carry wine through TSA? I mean, how'd you come up with this idea?
I found it frustrating in general that buy the glass wine in 99% of establishments is terrible, cheap, simple. Mm-hmm. And there's seemingly a correlation with people that want to drink less or have a single serving of wine that potentially they're cheap people as well. And on the other side of that, working with very expensive wine and producing some of the most lovely wines, I think, you know, in the world here in Napa, it's very expensive just to pour a taste of that wine for people as well. So I saw practical implications for both customers who didn't want to settle for quality just because they wanted a single serving of something, either for a dietary restriction or just because they are at a movie and it would be nice to have a glass of wine. And then on the supply side, wow, it's really challenging to sample a bottle of fantastic wine for every person that does, from a cost of goods perspective. And then a reward to those people that perhaps do spend a lot of money on your wine and have it shipped or won't receive it for a while. You can give them something that is a memento. They're never going to throw out the bottle. It's super cute, as people like to call them. And it's a reminder for them that later on in their trip, or even when they get home, they can revisit and that experience and retaste that wine while they're waiting for their own wine to come. So there's so many different applications for me, because I've seen in this specifically this segment of the market of 187 mils that there's been a lot of really cute packaging out there that people have gotten.
You just said cute.
Exactly, it's super cute, and you know, but draws customers to them, and they're, you know, you can get four of them for $9, and they've got $9 million of seed money from some people, and there's terrible wine inside because they spent all that money on a trademark or a patent for this packaging and the packaging line, and there's nothing left for the wine. So I came at it from, again, the supply mentality of simple cost of goods from a packaging perspective, spending all my money on wine, which I do anyway, and it creating it, putting it all together in a single serving package of wine. I call a traveler, because you can take them anywhere, but it's truly tasteful, better wine by the glass. And that's our tag phrase, tasteful, better wine by the glass, because it's a double entendre there.
I like that. Is that term, did you trademark the term, the traveler, or is that?
Traveler really can't be trademarked, because Solo Cup has been using traveler for years. But traveler in corporation with both my logo, as well as being used with 100 milliliter size bottle, you can also not trademark or patent a bottling size unless you completely make a new mold.
So then it has to be totally original.
Exactly. So, but I use Traveler on all of my products, including the other vintners wines that we bottle into the Fly Wine Traveler packages. So people know, A, it's authentic wine. If you don't see Traveler and people start making 100 mils, they can't be associated with Fly Wine. And Fly Wine guarantees that if you're getting our wine, there's a winemaker, you can go to the site and verify where it's from, you can verify what the charity is that we're working with to donate money to, and you know it's not bulk. And I won't let any bulk wine producers, even if they're located here, Napa or Sonoma, to bottle bulk. I have very good connections with 187 milliliter bottling lines. They can bottle their wine in those applications, but unless they can really stand behind the wine and its pedigree and people, then I don't want it in a traveler.
That's fair enough. Well, and it's protecting your brand, obviously.
Yeah.
And we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, there were three separate types. One of them I'm looking at is the layover, the wingman, and the closer. I was going to say the closer. What's the difference between these?
So this is the second volume that I've produced, and the first volume was all about me. I like to tell people, because if it crashed and burned, no pun intended, I wanted to make sure that I went into it knowing not only did I love the wine, but I got to do some things I've wanted to do for a long time. So the first wine that produced was the kitchen door. And I mean, kitchen sink, excuse me, kitchen door is a restaurant in downtown Napa.
I'm curious about that.
Okay. Kitchen door is a great restaurant in Napa, a kitchen sink. And what I got to do there, I really wanted to work with a woman winemaker, because my first experience coming to Napa was with a woman winemaker. I wanted to work with someone who understood wine and food pairing. And so I worked with this lady named, wonderful winemaker named Heather Munden. And the wine had already received accolades, 90 points. Did 92 points from Robert Parker. And it was fruity, it was direct, it had structure and acid, yet it was a product that would shine well in a single serving package. And so when you not all wine will taste great in a traveler, and I consult with people on that too. You need to be aware of the science behind it as well. And so we tasted it together, and it was an awesome experience. And I really wanted to work with something out the gate I knew had a score associated with this wine. We got it in front of trade and marketing and media with a woman winemaker. That just worked for me. The second wine produced, called the Party Starter, my favorite wine, and the wine that I sunk my teeth into, I guess it's 15 years ago when I first tasting wine in Ithaca, New York, where I went to school at Cornell. And I really wanted to make an Alsatian style wine, really aromatic, really clean, with those varietals. And I worked with another partner of mine, Brian Brown, who has many awards primarily for his white wine making skills, which is a nice joke between us. He makes the best white wines for a red wine winemaker you can find in this valley or anywhere else. And we found this awesome wine, this juice and fruit from these vineyards in the Russian River Valley. And it just spoke. We added some Gewürztraminer and Riesling, and it brought me back to the first time I had the Jügel Gentil, which is still a house wine in my house to this day, and the aromatic and just cleanness of those wines, which I have still are my favorite wines, even through, you know, it's if you work in a muffin or an ice cream, you stop wanting to eat them.
Yes.
And drink the, right. The ice cream. Still could drink the party starter and nice. Do all day, all night. And then the closer, amplifier, the first Napa Cab, was produced by working with my best friend, and his name's Brian Page. We've done a lot of crazy things together, but we've never made wine together. And so that's who I also worked with on our first premier lot last year, and it was just so much fun. And I wanted to not only showcase what an awesome winemaker he is, underrated, under the radar, what a rock star, but I want to have fun with my best friend because we work our butts off and we know each other's plates, but we've never done it together, and it was awesome. So the first volume were those three wines, and they sold out really quickly. I still have some party starter because I use that a lot. People request that wine in over and over for the name.
It's a good name, yeah.
And for a lot of events. So the layover is, again, a Chardonnay. It's a Russian River Valley. The Wingman is a red blend from three vineyard appellations here in Napa. And then the closer is a Coombsville specific 2013 Cabernet.
Fourth reference to Coombsville in this trip, and you're my fifth interview.
Woo-woo. At the time, I was living in Coombsville, and instead of having a different winemaker and charity for every wine, I brought it in a little bit, and I worked with one other vintner on this project, Garrett Onfeld, and he was born and raised throughout Coombsville. And so it was a no-brainer. That wine was actually the easiest and first one we got out of the way. The Chardonnay, it was a lot of market demand, and I am distributed now in about seven states, and you need a Chardonnay. And so even though Chardonnay wasn't necessarily what my heartstrings would have pulled, we were able to source some awesome fruit, Lees integrated, no malolactic. And it's, if you like Chardonnay, it's a very simple, direct to the point Chardonnay. And the Wingman is just that, what I decided that every vintage and every volume truly, because it's not a vintage of wine for us, it's a volume that I release, will tell a story, but I also have to have market consistency. So there will always be a white that is a varietally specific, correct in style, wine that people find pleasing and know that's their go-to white. Mm. There will always be a Napa Cabernet because that's what legitimizes truly what fly wines become, both at the NVVA level as well as just in the market on distribution and, you know, credibility. And then the Wingman is kind of just that. There will always be a wild card that talks mostly about our relationship, my relationship with the winemaker, our relationship to the dirt that we're sourcing from, and something that's a little bit more fun. And it'll probably largely be a blend of some sort, just like the kitchen sink was a blend. The Wingman is this fantastic blend, Merlot Cab base with some Cab Franc from Mount Beater, Oakville, and Coombsville.
It's funny, the amplifier, I want to say maybe that was the very first one you ever gave me.
Probably.
I remember that. Yeah. And that was probably obviously a little while ago.
And probably at Premier, because what I've done every year for Premier was bottle my auction lot down into Travelers to give out as promo. And that was called the Akate. And then for other people, and Akate, it means long, true, devout friend. And that again reflects my relationship with Brian Page. An amplifier, being that he's a rockhead at heart, that was our first wine, and I had those on me also just to give to people because they would see those around the market.
Well, they're an excellent promotional tool. I mean, you know, basically you've got yourself one nice pour of a really, really great wine, and it's easy to carry around. It is. I kind of thought about when you said bring it into a theater. That's not a bad idea. I have to remember that. Because, you know, nobody's going to know the difference. Okay, maybe we shouldn't promote that concept, but maybe we should.
Okay. People frown upon opening up alcohol beverages that they have not, you know, opened for you because they've not charged you for them. So no, I'm not advocating any sort of in decent behavior by the public. I say clearly on my site, you know, channel your inner Fonzie and be cool.
Well, but this idea of, you know, having these small wines, especially when they're high-quality wines, that really is something, again, to hand it as a promotional item, it's a little bit like the idea of a business card. You give a business card away, right. You want people to hang on to it. Something like this, they may stick in their fridge, they may come back to it in a week, a month, whatever. They go, oh, yeah.
And a lot of people do use them exclusively for that. And when I talk to other wineries, specifically other vintners, I said, you know, a lot of us spend way too much money on business cards. And we should put chips in them to see where they wind up. I bet a lot of them wind up in waste paper baskets that same room you gave them to the person. But with a traveler, you've got this long, everlasting kind of connection. Sure. And that's why special events and charities have fallen so in love with them, because they realize someone truly will take this home with them.
Yeah.
And that memory or that person is going to stick with them. I've done some work for even local hotels here for openings, and what a great thing to leave in the room for your guests as a departure gift. Oh, they don't feel obligated to chug that bottle down while they're here, because they can just put it in their carry-on and not worry about spending $35 to check something on their way home.
Right, very reasonably priced too, if you're buying it for, you know, that kind of a usage. That idea of putting a chip in a business card is a brilliant idea. You do have good ideas. Why has nobody thought of that before? It may be the expense, but wouldn't it be worth it?
We've put chips in our wine bottles now to authenticate them, so maybe the next step is...
Right. Big deal. I don't know. Interesting. So is there any possibility you would go to standard bottle sizes with the brand as well?
Well, my next angle for the Volume 3 is that I'd like to have a more long-term relationship with a specific vintner, and absolutely then be able to elaborate on their, you know, kind of leverage both sides of that. I couldn't really do it with a Jocelyn. There's it would be too much. But an existing vintner relationship where there's access to make creative wine specifically for the Fly Wine story, and then leverage their economies of scale to, you know, be able to produce the wine the larger quantities. I mentioned before, a lot of these new brands that are on, maybe competitive set or not, from the cans of wine from Oregon to, you know, the guys that have all been over Shark Tank, and all of the seed money and what they're using, it's interesting. But I've done this 100% with my own money right now, and I'm very proud of that. And every step that I'm taking, I'm looking to do small steps that continually to improve the product that I'm already making without growing it in a way that will complicate both my logistics and self-financial support. But it is something going down the road. I admire people in the Valley, like Aaron Pott, for instance. Before he bottles, their mailing list receives a, if you want a large format, you order it now, because we're bottling exactly that many things. And I do have people that ask me after they've gone home, like, can I get this in a case, but of, you know, 750s too. And I believe, like, that for me would be the next step, to have people say, you know what I'm making every year.
Yeah.
You know you're gonna love it, but here, I'll send you a, even better than that, you know, I'll send you a teaser, I'll send you the travelers of your choice, and after you tasting them, you have this window to then go say, commit that you want to buy a case of it. And I think that's my logical, here I am again blowing my own business plan away, but for me, that's my next stage to grow, because it's been more than once I've been asked that question.
Well, obviously you're an ideas person, and there's nothing better to see an ideas person that actually makes ideas come to life, because anybody can come up with a good idea. Not everybody can implement that idea.
Yeah. And it's scary too.
It's very scary.
That's why I said, you know, when after I bottled the first two editions, I did real quick, and then I waited before I bottled the amplifier cab. And I was looking around, I was like, well, I got a whole lot of real little bottles to drink. No one thinks this is cool. But I had gotten very lucky that I had prototyped it to use a lot of trade markets for a couple of years before I myself went the distance. I mean, it's not even cheap to get your license to have a wine brand, you know, let alone maintain it. But to productize it, get a website up, it's a lot when you're already doing other things. But it's also, there's nothing cooler than when you get that out of the blue email or order, and I respond to all of them myself. where did you see this? How did you find out about it? And it's just, it's a wonderful feeling. It's like, that's why chefs, there are so many chefs and so little chef millionaires, because the actualization and that feedback is a high that you can get from nothing else.
Yeah. Well, and that's the pride in what you're doing. I think that's fantastic. Let's talk about the charity aspect of this. How is, explain to me how that's working.
Oh, it works really well. I have three different ways that I'm working with charities. One is a Fly Wine, I call it our partnership. And for each volume, we select a larger charity that we completely vet. We've seen a lot in the news about these wonderful charities we all donate money to, and it winds up only 20% actually gets to who we think we're sending money to. So some of them have been local, some of them more global. At the end of the release, when we're pretty close to closing and selling out, they receive about 15% of sales, and that works out to be about $1 a traveler, which is a pretty significant, amount, considering the wine again is wholesaled and whatnot. The second level, which has become one of the most popular ways in working with Fly Wine, is that will be your big gala, for instance, favor, and I do special pricing for large charities. Basically, I donate a bottle for every bottle purchased, and on top of that, I donate a relatively radical lot. That is anything from a private flight from, you know, an air a jet center within 200 miles to Napa with an aerial tour, you know, a lunch at a winery, or a four-night stay at my home. We work together to find out what their people, depending on where they're located, is the best for them. And that works out really well. It's become very popular. It's a great way to market the philanthropic angle of Fly Wine, because you're hitting 400 people that all spend a lot of money to come to this gala, and they sit down or they pick up their bottle and it has their name and their table number, and they've already got it in their hands and trying to figure out, what is this?
Yeah,
can I
great.
Drink this?
That's
and
great.
So it's a great way to reach. And then I will work one-offs with charities for a single night. If they want to do a fundraiser and I'm pouring, I'll let them know, you know, all, you know, 50% of sales tonight. I will write a check at the end of the night to come if you want me to pour at your event, you know, and I'll do it right in front of them at the night. So lots of different angles and ways to work. Again, at the end of the day, I am self-financed, so I have to be creative. But in the first 8 months of Fly Wine, I donated back about $17,000 in product and sales, and mostly cash, and that's pretty awesome. Again, you have to remember, I'm not married. There's no flux coming in on the side. So I really work hard to make sure that this is truly one third of what I'm doing. First, I like to talk about my winemakers and my other vintners I work with, because they're such amazing people. It's awesome. The product and what makes it unique and special, and then these charities, and they have to be as important. Everyone these days is donating something somewhere to sound legitimate, but I try to make that really a centerpiece of the work I'm doing.
It's also a great way to promote what you're doing, so it makes sense. It's just great business.
Yeah, and what I love, and there's one charity that I'm super proud of that I'm working with currently in my third year, and it's an autism center in the South Bay area, and man, it's so cool. The gala keeps growing in numbers, so does their bottling. But the best thing they do is at the end of the night, they live auction the kids who are in the program their paintings, and their school logo is an owl. And these kids stand next to their, it's kind of like going to auction Napa Valley, right? Yeah. And you're so proud, the winemaker's pouring it off, and these kids sit there, and I mean, these paintings can go for $10,000, $20,000, and these kids are, they have no idea really the concept of the money, but they just feel the energy, right? And so what we've decided to do is make, for their event every year, the label artwork is the painting from the last year.
Oh, nice.
And the parents this year and the other supporters were just beside themselves, how cool that was. Mm. And you really feel part of something.
Yeah.
It's not just a tchotchke. It's I've now like been able to be a part of something that matters to them.
The idea of putting the artwork on the label, that's so
they're never
huge.
Getting rid of that bottle.
No. No, it's
there.
It's gonna be up there. Whatever happens to it, it's gonna travel through life.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of pride involved in something like that. Kudos and congratulations on what you've done with this.
Thank you.
And after we were talking, before we actually sat down and started the interview, it's like, okay, you're saying you're not married and all this, but you've just bought this house. And wow, I don't see the seven other arms on you. Where are they hiding?
No.
You know, this is a lot of work you're taking on.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty fascinating.
The New Yorker in me is still like figuring it out.
But that's what it takes if you want to be successful, and more importantly, you want to live your life with passion.
Yeah.
You have to go for something like that. Are you doing anything for Auction Napa Valley this year?
I am. I have an e-auction lot this year, and I believe it's 351. And it's a year's supply of fly wine. Two nights stay in my home in downtown Napa, an aerial flight of Napa and tour and pick up and drop off at your local airport.
Let's be careful with the word drop off when we're saying flight here.
Yes, jumping off.
Yes, you exactly. Just,
there's no parachutes involved in that drop off. Unless you know you have your, I guess, license for it. And then we'll be also including Garrett Onfield and a tasting at their Wine Thief, which is his brand new venture that opened earlier this year. And it's a co-op tasting room, and he's a partner, and talk about passion from this guy. That's why we made such a great team for this release. But last year's buyers, which is so awesome, they literally got 365 bottles. That was too much. This year they get 6 bottles a month, but they become dear friends. Another reason I do these auctions, to make wonderful friends, and they're coming back up, but they sent me this text message about 8 days ago, and they took a photo of their wine cellar and the fridge, and they're all little travelers, and there was about like 7 little soldiers left. And Jenny is so funny. She texts, she goes, I can't believe this is all we have left. And I looked at my watch and I was like, you nailed that right to the date. It was like, you know, that really wasn't like, you know, your supply.
You proved
of
it out.
Wine.
Yeah.
And what's so amazing about them, they've come up twice. We've gone to lunches, and those are the relationships, this auction and all of these things, you know, you wind up creating. It's not this one-off, you know, trying to get a tax write-off for them and just throwing some wine at some people coming up here for a good time. It's the relationships you really make, and those are probably among, I would say, as a vintner, that should be among your biggest pride. Yes, there's a lot of pride in enjoying seeing people love your product, but the people that you meet up here for these events are just sensational. And that's why, again, when out of nowhere someone writes me or, you know, sends an order through my website, that's why I personally respond to every email. I have met so many people that way too, because they're first of all shocked that someone wrote back. And I love when it's people that I've met over the years and they write in the comments, Stephanie, we met at, you know, so-and-so airport or whatever. And it's just like, actually, it's me writing you back. And they're blown away. And it's, but they're amazed that I remember, but I'm amazed they remembered me.
Wow. So that's very humble. That's very nice.
That's pretty cool.
That is. Well, and doing this is pretty cool. For our listeners who want to learn about you online, we're going to come back to the email in a minute, but how would they go about that?
Well, our new and improved website is launching... All these puns. Next week, it's fly-wine.com. And my email is stephanie@fly-wine.com. But once you're on the website, almost any email that you click on would come to me, be it sales@fly-wine.com or at stephanie@fly-wine.com.
Stephanie, it's always fun to talk to you, and it's nice that we finally got a chance to tie you down in a chair and actually do a full-length interview. But I really do appreciate you taking the time to travel 5-6 blocks away from where you
live. I know, right? Well, again, it's awesome to be thought of, so thank you.
Not at all. My pleasure. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you.
Learn more by visiting fly-wine.com or justlinvineyards.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our intern is Eden Herbert. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2016.